It's been a day of sadness as well and a tragic month of August for the BJP. It's the end of an era. First Sushma Swaraj earlier this month and now Arun Jaitley. Mr. Jaitley's final journey began from his residence to reach the BJP headquarters where party leaders, the public, his well-wishers from all walks of life bid farewell to their beloved leader. Someone who was talked about as a troubleshooter but also as a personal mentor for so many. Arun Jaitley was cremated with full state honours at Delhi's Nigam Bodh Ghat. From leaders of the BJP to his friends, even in the opposition, all agreed that there would be no replacement for Arun Jaitley.
आज मेरा दोस्त अरुण चला गया।
Joining us on Left, Right and Centre tonight, Ashok Malik, former press secretary to the President of India and someone who's been a close friend of Mr. Jaitley's, who talks about Mr. Jaitley as being a mentor to him. Seshadri Chari, member of the BJP, with us tonight. Niharika Karanjawala, lawyer and daughter of Ryan Karanjawala, who also happens to be a close family friend of Arun Jaitley's, is with us. And my colleague and NDTV senior editor of politics, Sanket Upadhyay, is with us as well. Ashok Malik, let me begin with you. You've written a very moving tribute to Mr. Jaitley, where you talk about how he was a rare professional politician. You also talk about while there will be perhaps no one to replace him, there will be many to succeed him. What do you mean?
Two things here. When I said he brought a professional ethic to politics, what I meant was he understood and respected a professional who went out of his way to earn an honest wage and did not make politics his profession. He often said that to succeed in politics, to be truly independent in politics, to be true to your principles in public life, you need to have an independent source of income which has nothing to do with politics or public life. And that allows you to maintain your principles. He tried to do that most of his life, and I think he succeeded. And that was advice he gave a lot of people, whether they were in politics or outside. Second, in terms of the talent he combined in one individual, himself, for the BJP, for India, for public life in India, he was a legal mind, he was a great communicator, he understood policy and technology, he understood Indian civilization and its moorings, he combined the past and the present and the future, he was a fair person, he understood the importance of civil liberties, he also understood where governance required perhaps sometimes checks and balances to be maintained. Such a rare combination of attributes is frankly missing in any one individual on the political firmament today.
Okay.
And there will be many others to succeed him and maybe do better than him in the future, I hope. But he will be difficult to replace as one individual.
Seshadri Chari, would you agree that, you know, Mr. Jaitley combined in him a range that is very hard to find in politicians? And, you know, when Ashok Malik talks about the sort of liberalism that he brought, there were issues on which he differed from his party. For instance, the decriminalization of Section 377 is one that sort of springs to mind almost automatically. But it was an issue on which he almost managed change, a change of thought, a change of perspective within the BJP and the RSS.
No, for those who would have covered him in the first NDA government during Atal Bihari Vajpayee, he was one of those very few people who started very actively taking interest in the selling off of loss-making units.
Yes.
So it was called disinvestment in those days. So the first company to be disinvested at that time was Modern Bread, and Swadeshi Jagran Manch and RSS were terribly against it. But it was the government's idea that loss-making units, government should not be running, and all those things, of course. So I remember when I came to Delhi in 1992 as editor of Organizer, he was one of the first very few people who came to see me, and then we would, he had a, I think it was some Premier Padmini car or some old car he had. Mm-hmm. He used to drive it himself. So he came, picked me up, we would go to Lodi, take a round, and then he would say, organizer ko kaise turn around karna hai, and all those things. So we used to talk about that. And then this came, right. Vajpayee government.
Right.
So he had a very tough time convincing the RSS and Swadeshi Jagran Manch. I remember we used to have meeting after meeting. So, but he never went out of the brief. He had to, he was the bridge between, in a way, between Vajpayee government and the RSS in carrying forward all these things. So that kind of balancing, that kind of the art of balancing,
right,
with a very cool mind.
Yes.
That is something very unique. So that is all, of course, politics.
Yes.
But without losing interest in it, without losing the cool in it.
Yeah.
He could do it at that time.
Sanket, would you say that he was a bridge not just between, you know, the Vajpayee government and the RSS, or in this case, the Modi government, but also a bridge between the old BJP and the new BJP?
Absolutely. I mean, only today I'm reminded that Nitin Gadkari, who is also the former BJP president and now a very tall leader and a tall minister in this cabinet, he in his tribute said that, I remember how Arun Jaitley would spend nights when we had a very difficult phase as far as solving a leadership issue. Of course, he was referring to Karnataka. He was talking about those various moments where, as the BJP president, Nitin Gadkari did not know who to go to, and Mr. Arun Jaitley would offer his services at that moment for him. So that's his ability, both for which he has been recognized both within the party and outside. We are talking about this phase in 2008-2009 when there were allegations of corruption against Yedurappa, horse trading, which is now all too prevalent even now in Karnataka. At that moment, I remember covering those meetings till late in the night, till 2 a.m., 3 a.m. There used to be late night meetings where Arun Jaitley presented himself as the principal troubleshooter for the BJP, the right. principal troubleshooter for the then president. And he has done that exactly. He's played that exact role for friends, for politicians who are not part of the BJP, for politicians within the Bharatiya Janata Party. It's not for nothing that he has earned the tag of a dost, as the Prime Minister said today.
Niharika Karnajawala, maybe you could give us the sort of more personal insight into how Mr. Arun Jaitley was a dost to so many and in so many different ways.
You know, he really was, Ankita, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to talk about it. I think people know so much of his professional legacy, his political legacy, but I think his personal legacy is just as enduring, you know, and you can see even now the outpouring of tributes from opposition parties as well, from his friends. He did so much good and touched so many people's lives. There's article after article saying he was a mentor to me, he cared for me, and, you know, as one of the kids of his friend circle, he was always a huge figure in our right. profession, as a lawyer, as a politician, but he was never an intimidating figure to us.
Very
at all.
Approachable to Very. So many of us, and even those who weren't covering the BJP
Absolutely.
Beat or didn't have to meet him on a day-to-day basis. If you met him, he would be instantly warm
Absolutely.
And welcoming and make you feel at ease.
Innately kind-hearted, he loved kids, innately cheerful and good-natured, and he would always, you know, no matter how busy he was, and he was such a busy person, he would always make time to talk with all of us also. He never talked down to any of us. You know, right. it was like he would make you feel comfortable. He would make you feel as though what you were saying interested him.
You know, one of the things that I want to add to what Niharika is saying, Arun Jaitley had this, and now I'm speaking as someone who has covered the BJP as a beat. His debriefing sessions were a delight for all the reporters.
Right.
There was a reason why. Not because he wanted to hold that debriefing so that all the reporters, I mean, that could have been one of the motives, that he would want everyone to toe that line. His idea was to explain a complicated story.
Always
right. It was not to give you a line that go follow this and report this. He will make you understand a complex issue so that you can frame your questions accordingly. This ability to make people understand
and explain. It's really interesting that you say that because he gave an interview to NDTV, to our editorial director, Sonia Singh, right before the 2019 elections, where he seemed to sort of almost hint at what was to come. He said Article 35A entered the Constitution through the back door. It's a constitutional puzzle. It was not inserted by a parliament amendment, but an executive insertion by presidential notification. It is constitutionally vulnerable. Ashok Malik, you know, let me take that to you. As a man who was clearly the government's sort of go-to person on all things legal and constitutional, would it be fair to assume that a lot of the thought that went behind the government's present moves in Jammu and Kashmir would have involved Mr. Jaitley at the ideation level?
Indeed, it did. And I can confirm that a lot of the thinking behind the amendment which happened on the 5th of August, the removal of Article 370 from application in Jammu and Kashmir, as well as the removal of Article 35A, was part of the legal briefing given by Mr. Arun Jaitley to the Prime Minister, and they worked together on it. In a sense, this was his last gift or last act for the government, which he was not a formal member of, but he remained very close to and was a confidant and a guidance counselor too. There's one other point I'd like to make. Mr. Seshadri-Chari is absolutely right that Arun Jaitley was someone who was a bridge between various groups, various ideas of various ways of thinking and of ideation within the BJP and the wider Sangh Parivar. But why was he so successful at this? The reason was he radiated trust. So when you spoke to him, even if he had an opposite view, you were confident that he would give you a fair hearing. And he would try to persuade you, but he would also hear your reasons. He radiated trust. He was a fundamentally decent man. And whether you were his supporter, ally, friend, adversary, it didn't matter. You recognized that this was a fundamentally decent man who you could trust. And that was his biggest quality. You know, you can have people who are better lawyers. You can have people who are better communicators, perhaps.
Right.
But I doubt you'll find somebody who so many various groups of people can trust so easily. And that was his so
would
unique
you,
about
w- So, Seshadri-Chari, would you agree that, you know, he was also at the same time the quintessential Delhi insider. And in that capacity also, he would have been indispensable, invaluable to Mr. Modi's first term in government.
True. Very true. Even that way, yeah, he was very invaluable in that sense. But what Ashok mentioned was about, and what you said about putting someone at ease, whether he agrees with that particular proposition or not. Like before the 2019 election, I had gone to him regarding some constituency where the BJP people were unhappy and all that, especially in Punjab. So he said, I don't know much about all these things, but and I don't decide. But when I told him Arun ji like that, he said, "Arey yar, Arun se Arun ji ho gaya kya?" I said, "Pata hi nahi chala Arun se Arun ji kab hua?" You know.
Yeah.
So you know that one sentence, and then suddenly you are at ease. You are not
right.
meeting a leader; you are meeting a friend. See
yeah.
that when Prime Minister said, "Mera dost chala gaya," this factor, the dost factor, you know,
right.
whether you have come for any work, your personal work, your party work, whatever it is, so. I mean, I'm not treating you as a junior senior.
Mm-hmm.
We are friends, after all.
Yeah.
So,
but
Sanket,
would you say that it was an anomaly that for someone who obviously communicated so well or reached out to people so well, he never was a politician with a mass base. He didn't win an election ever. How do
well,
you explain that
anomaly?
He started
his career by winning an election.
The Delhi ADP University
election.
Students
yeah,
Union,
election.
Yes, and we've heard a lot about that from both his, you know, those who stood opposite him in the politics of all of this. But you know, the fact that he didn't win a popular national, you know, a Lok Sabha election or any bigger post like that.
So let me also share an incident that happened today at the Nigambodh Ghat, where there were a lot of people from a socialist background. You know, people who were back in the emergency days, who were locked up in the jail with Arun Jaitley, but had a, Janata Dal sort of a mooring.
Background.
Yeah, that background. many of those people said that even in the prison cell, there was a heated debate. There was a pro-socialist debate and a pro-right or a pro-Jansang debate, which Mr. Arun Jaitley used to lead.
Right.
So imagine in a lockup, you have a prime-time debate going on with Mr. Arun Jaitley leading from the front.
In fact, this winning election, there is another very funny thing that he told me. I asked him this question once again, long back, of course, after 2004 when we lost. So I was an organizer, and then 2004 I was transferred back to BJP. In fact, before 1992, I was in BJP General Secretary, then I was brought to organizer. So I came back. So we used to have a lot of fun and other things. So we lost and all these things. So he said, Shari, you tell me, how many finance ministers have won elections?
It's too specialized. You can't be a mass-based politician and an economist. But on the larger subject of debates, Ashok Malik, you know, would you say that Mr. Jaitley really came into his own, as a parliamentarian? Because some of the most eloquent debates or speeches we've heard on the floor of the House has had Mr. Jaitley battling it out with some of the best speakers on the other side.
You know, this is where his legal training helped him, and law and the constitution for him were not just adjuncts to his political career. They were a genuine passion. He may have made a lot of money as a lawyer, but that is immaterial. He actually loved law. He loved studying the constitution. He loved the intricacies of legislation and lawmaking, which is why he was such a natural in parliament. There's one thing I'd like to point out, that while he had friends from a range of backgrounds, socialist backgrounds, as Sanket said, people from the left who were fellow student leaders in the 70s, he remained very loyal to the BJP.
Right.
He was very much a core BJP person. When he disagreed with his party on some issue or the other, and people can disagree under a big tent, he made sure he expressed his disagreement within the confines of the party and tried to persuade it to change his mind, to his mind. But he was not some sort of an outsider in the BJP. He was very much a core BJP person. Hmm. And the entire Sangh Parivar respected that. He paid his dues between 75 and 77 when he spent 19 months in jail. Without, he could have betrayed his political principles. He didn't. He stayed in prison as a political prisoner. And he had won a lot of respect for that. So he was a BJP man through and through. And that was part of his persona.
And Shishadri Chari, that's something you would agree with?
Of course. See, his training basically from RSS, then to Vidyarthi Parishad, then from Vidyarthi Parishad to BJP, all these things, it was a long journey. And in those long journeys, he had a great exposure, not only to BJP leaders, but also RSS and the older Jansang leaders. Like, for example, very few people would have heard about Sundar Singh Bhandari.
Mm.
So, the earlier generation of pre-77 leadership, which practically went out of circulation from 84, 85 onwards.
Yes.
So, 85 onwards, it was a very slightly new generation of BJP. So, his travels from Vidyarthi Parishad to emergency to the BJP in 1980, that is Janata Dal to BJP in 1980,
yeah.
And then to the BJP era, which was represented by Advani and Atalji. Mm. So you can imagine the
range
of exposure that he got. Yeah. So in all these
so,
things,
very quick last words. I'm afraid I'm completely out of time. But how does the BJP ever replace someone like him?
They cannot. Hmm. As Ashok Malik also said, it's hard to replace Arun Jaitley with Arun Jaitley like in the Bharatiya Janata Party.
Right.
You know that last question that you asked me, the previous question where you said that he didn't win elections. Well, look, within the Bharatiya Janata Party, they realized that this is a man, and August is a terrible month for the BJP, because between 2004 and 2014, the two people here at the center,
right,
who kept the party together, apart from the leadership of, the personality of L.K. Advani, were Sushma Swaraj and Arun Jaitley, by representing the party's viewpoint in both the houses and strongly.
Yeah.
So you need, a party is made of all sorts of leaders. Some win elections,
others don't. Others don't, but they're equally invaluable. We'll leave it at that tonight. It, of course, has been a cruel, cruel month of August for the BJP in particular, but perhaps for politics as a whole. Thank you all for joining us tonight.